Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 8th, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Oh, man. Happy Friday. Man, I cannot wait for my weekend. It's looking so good. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. And somehow I had a feeling you were looking forward to today being Friday.
Continuation of a earlier running joke, folks. My apologies. It is, of course, Monday. But it is definitely good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Right. But for Brian, it's like Leap Friday, which means that tomorrow will be Tuesday.
I just wasn't ready for the weekend to be over.
I get it. Some weekends are like that. You just want them to roll on and on.
Yes.
John Martellaro, how are you?
I had a weekend to recover from a cold, so I'm better. I may cough. I may wheeze. I will try to mute.
I hope you survive the show.
I hope so, too.
So basically what we're saying is I'm the person that had the fun weekend because I got really awesome apples at the farmer's market.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Yeah, it was great. Hey, so we should actually probably talk about topics instead of what apples I got. Local, they were local orchard. They're Jonathan's, and holy crap, they're good. Anyhow, China. We need to talk about China again. We talked about this whole spy chip thing some last week, but since then, we've seen more detailed statements from Apple. Amazon has offered their own denial about the whole thing. We even have the Department of Homeland Security coming out and saying, look, we have no reason to doubt Apple's statement. So this whole thing with Bloomberg reporting that the Chinese government installed spy chips on servers that 30 companies and several government agencies have been using, it's looking more and more like the report's wrong.
I don't think it's wrong so much as it is we're at the first layer of the onion. And so, the second layer of the onion is the denials. And there's many more layers to this onion, I suspect.
Okay. I agree with you. This is feeling like an onion story. The deeper we get in, the more we get into it. It's feeling kind of onion-esque.
Yeah.
All right. So here, I think the real story here, and that's what we're going to get when we dig through John's metaphorical onion, is what happened to make Bloomberg think that this was really happening or that it was happening in this way, and to write the big piece that they did. Because I cannot imagine a scenario where Bloomberg would decide that they would fabricate a story about major U.S. companies and government agencies as well.
Bloomberg, can I just like jump in? I just can't. Okay, so Bloomberg is a solid news organization, mm-hmm. a very solid news organization. And this is not them making up something. They might be wrong, mm-hmm. but wrong does not necessarily mean made up.
Or misled.
They could have been misled. They could have been drawing the wrong conclusions. You know, like what, you know, Ming Chi Kuo is like, again, can we please like stop putting that guy on a pedestal? But I assume that it at the base of every one of his pronouncements, including those that are correct and those that are not correct, are that there is some kind of information that is being fed to him, and he is either drawing the wrong conclusions or is only getting an incomplete picture. I have zero doubt that something along those lines is what happened here with Bloomberg, but it's not that the news organization is making something up.
I agree. They are not making something up. It's just whatever information they had, it led down this path where ultimately they published this report believing that they had all of the details correct, and it's looking like they didn't.
And we know that they worked on it for a while.
Yeah, for at least a year.
Almost. Well, About a year. Almost a year, right? Apple says that Bloomberg approached Apple about this story in November of 2017. This is just what we know. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how much, assuming that Apple's telling the truth, which I assume that they're telling the truth, that we don't know how much
assumption
that Apple's telling the truth.
Yeah, it could be a bad assumption with all these layers of spiorama.
So stuff are you saying there is a possibility Apple is lying?
Yeah.
Hold on, John. I meant when Apple said that Bloomberg approached them in 2017.
Oh, okay.
I assume that Apple's telling the truth there. That would be a weird thing for them to make up, because there would be email trails that Bloomberg could, you know, produce, and that Apple wouldn't be able to produce if Bloomberg didn't contact Apple in November 2017. About that, I'm assuming that Apple's telling the truth.
Yeah. What did Apple say in 2017
to Bloomberg? Apple, what Apple said that Apple told Bloomberg at that time was that they had it wrong, and that that they had done internal investigations based on what Bloomberg brought them, and none of those internal investigations turned up anything. That's what Apple claims. I don't know if those claims are correct, but like I said, they did claim that Bloomberg approached them in November of 2017. I assume that part of it, at the very least, is true. And that is a very long time for Bloomberg to be developing the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, what was Bloomberg being told by whom, why, for 10 months before they published that story?
Well, my crackpot idea about this is the caveat that it was Chinese. You know, the CIA and the NSA have a long history of embedding chips in systems, Cisco systems. And when denials are made or affirmations are made, if you can make them somehow in the context of no, it wasn't the Chinese, or the Chinese didn't do that, it gives you some wiggle room for deeper mysteries and deeper motivations. That's my crackpot.
Well, okay, so it could be the Chinese government. I'm assuming you're saying the Chinese government.
Yeah.
Okay. It could also be a competitor. It could be someone in the supply chain wanting to cause some mischief. It could be a short seller. It could be a short seller of Apple suppliers. It could be someone else trying to manipulate the market in one direction or the other.
Yep, all of the above.
Yeah, there's lots of parties who could be incentivized to tell a falsehood. The thing is that again, Bloomberg has a very solid news organization. Is a very solid news organization, mm-hmm. And they should. They are very experienced at sussing out sources and and figuring out fact from fiction, at least to the best of their knowledge.
Well, to do that, they should have said, invite us in, show us a motherboard, put a magnifying glass on it and show us the chip.
Well, Bloomberg claims that they have photographs of the chip, and they have photographs in their article.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what they don't have is photographs of an Apple server.
That is true.
They claim that people inside Apple, executives inside Apple, confirmed that Apple had dealt with this to Bloomberg.
Well, maybe there was a situation where the chips were being implanted and then they were uncovered. And the chips were no longer being put into motherboards, and Apple can fairly say that we didn't find any, and Amazon says we didn't find any. But at one time, they were there, and they were discovered, and they were being pulled, and Bloomberg's got older information.
Maybe. Well, part of Bloomberg's report is that Amazon gave the FBI access to their hacked servers so that they could see the chips. And Amazon's saying, yeah, no, this didn't happen.
And the FBI is so far back that up, I believe.
Yes. And so one of the reasons.
Yeah, but depending on people to tell the absolute unvarnished truth in a spy-like mystery like this is a stretch for me.
All right. So here's the stretch for me, that we don't have other people that have come forward saying, I can verify or I can shoot down these parts of the story. Never underestimate the desire for a human to share a secret, because people love sharing secrets. Well, okay. It makes them feel like they're important. And for something like this to have happened, the number of people involved is crazy high. You cannot keep secrets like this. This is how you can show most conspiracy theories are total bunk, because you don't have the people stepping forward to offer up the information.
Agreed on all of that. However, there were, according to Bloomberg, people who were stepping forward behind the scenes, just not publicly.
Right. But once a story like this comes out, people love to feel important. And there are other people that would be stepping up saying, Apple's wrong and I've got the proof right here. I have my email chain or whatever.
And it wouldn't be the first. Okay. So I've already said several times now that Bloomberg is a respected organization. They have a solid news organization. They're a good news organization. I respect Bloomberg. That doesn't mean that a reporter isn't necessarily lying. Wouldn't be the first time that a big story has been put together by a reporter that is telling falsehoods. I hate to artificially add to the fake news narrative that is so so bandied about by.
I think it's just so mired in complexities and national security and conflicting sources and age of data and all the other different factors that come into this that it was convoluted, hard to figure out, and the authors got it wrong.
So
total picture.
Yeah, I think that's one of two possibilities. And it's probably the more likely of the two, that the information is there and it's been strung together in the wrong way. The other possibility, which I think is less likely, is that there are people that were intentionally feeding Bloomberg information that appears legit and is not, and duped them into writing this story.
I think that is more likely. I think that is more likely than the
Between the two, it's 99% of one of them. There's another interesting story at CSO Magazine by Roger Grimes, who talks about the financial impact of this and how the Chinese have successfully hacked through other mechanisms, servers and software, and stolen intellectual property. And we do it to them, they do it to us. And to damage the reputation, I mean, there's already this government admonition against military people using Huawei and ZTE phones. Mm-hmm. And this article that Roger Grimes wrote, there was some issues in the past about Lenovo PCs that I won't go into in detail. But the question was raised by the author, why would the Chinese risk billions of dollars in business and ruin their exports and getting a bad reputation to the point where the United States would put an outright prohibition on importing equipment from that area.
Are you still referring to the spy chip?
What would be a big financial risk for this to be tied back to the Chinese military?
Risk their
export business.
Because the group, if this was a Chinese governmental action, the group behind it might not necessarily care about the economy. And they might have thought they could get away with it. And they might have if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a possibility too. A maverick group not caring about the Chinese export business, but more focused on their own security interests.
Yeah, some sort of
feature. There are so many dimensions to this. The onion. We have not reached the center of the onion.
No, we have not. And I'm thinking that where this story really goes is going to be fascinating. And I hope that that eventually we get to the end of that story, because this is going to be so cool to watch how it plays out, because we're going to be finding all these twists and turns and surprises along the way. It's going to be fascinating.
If you're a Bloomberg editor, how do you untie this knot?
Yeah, can you? I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the war room right now.
Oh my God! Yeah,
do you keep on digging and expose what you didn't know and write an updated story, or do you just sit on your hands?
No. Bloomberg has got to. I mean, really, they sort of have to double down or refute.
Yeah, they do.
Or refute.
Yeah, right now their reputation is on the line.
Right. So they have to. If they believe in the story. If they stand by the story, they will stand by it. And if they find out that there was a mistake made, they must come forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree completely. Even though I would love to keep talking about this, I'm moving us on because there's another topic that I want to hit before we wrap up today. And we're getting close to time. Siri is 7 years old now. And I guess... it's about time for us to take a look at Siri. And what I'm curious about, do you feel, both of you, either of you, that Siri is where it ought to be today?
And I feel that Siri is a very, very advanced three-year-old.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot considering it's seven now.
Yes.
I have noticed a psychological tendency on my part to shy away from Siri when I'm in a hurry. I've been burned by Siri's misinterpretation of my language so many times that I find myself a little bit resistant to depending on Siri to repeat, especially with Siri on Apple TV, but even on my iPhone. And so I have taken to doing it once correctly in text, instead of fighting with Siri's misunderstandings of my intentions three or four times verbally. And that's where I am.
All right, Brian, are you finding issues with Siri understanding you like John is?
The phrase lights out is interpreted one out of four times correctly and is usually interpreted as lights off, lights on, or what's up.
And is that device specific, meaning when you say it to your iPhone versus your HomePod, or does it matter?
iPhone and iPad the same.
Mm-hmm.
That particular phrase doesn't get used in front of my HomePods, but I have been noticing recently that my HomePods aren't hearing me when there's like nothing going on in the house. That's annoying.
Okay. I have experienced the same thing with my HomePod recently. Yeah, it can be totally silent. No fans, no air filters, no anything.
I think she listens better when she's playing sound.
That would make sense because the HomePod is listening to all the sound so that it can balance it correctly.
She's listening to all the sounds all the time.
I know. So that doesn't make sense. But yes, I've experienced the same thing where I will very clearly speak to my HomePod when it's completely silent in my place and not get any response. The activity light doesn't even come on briefly.
Hmm. So that's kind of annoying.
And as far as just general use, I do use Siri more than I did a few months ago. You remember when I had my great debacle where HomeKit just completely took a dirt nap on me?
Uh-huh.
And I stopped using Siri almost completely for a while. And I've been slowly integrating Siri more and more over the months. And I use it regularly now. I'm still using the A-Lady regularly. And I'm still divvying up tasks between them.
I can say, Jeff, I was thinking about this weekend, not knowing that we were going to talk about it today.
Mm-hmm.
I am really happy with Siri and HomeKit 85% of the time.
Okay.
That leaves that. 15% is way too high to not be happy with it. But what the 85% of the time, I am entirely satisfied. like pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Apple's got to close that gap and then add to her abilities.
I agree. I think shortcuts is a great first step in adding towards those abilities. Yep. Because developers are adding in shortcut support to their apps like yep. daily. And that's pretty cool. There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we're out of time. My takeaway from this is that we're impressed with the technology, but not with the rate that it's improving.
Does yes.
that sound fair?
I agree.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that this new AI person that Apple brought over from Google is in the process of shaking things up.
And I
hope
so too.
We're going to start seeing some major improvements over the next, you know, 12 months.
Yeah.
To be realistic, just to be, you know, these things don't happen overnight.
Well, and the great thing is those can happen without major system updates. Apple can make those happen in the background. So we can get significant improvements to Siri without having to wait for iOS 13 or Mac OS Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
The fact that Brian lives in California is so obvious now. Because he gets where I went with that.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff right there.
All right. Well, on that fun note, we are out of time. John, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Good to macOS Wise Way. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have both of you here. Listeners, I'm so glad you are here too. Hey, if you haven't gone over to iTunes and written a review for the show lately, do that because I love the feedback. And when you're talking about the show on iTunes, it makes it easier for other people to find it and join in. So please do that. And everyone have an awesome day. We'll see you again tomorrow.